Hello, and good day to you from episode 17 of our podcast series, Project Breakaway, a metaphorical and literal time in the day when we here at Predator Cycling take some time away from working in the back shop to come and share with our listeners what we're doing, how we're doing it, what it takes to do it, our ideas, our innovative success stories, and even our missteps and failures. If you find yourself with an interest in bicycles, composite manufacturing, out-of-the-box design, or even curiosities beyond, I encourage you to stick with us, settle in, and learn a little. I'm Courtney B., co-owner and project manager of Predator Cycling. I'm here with my partner, RM Goganium, the other co-owner, CEO, lead designer and engineer, and fearless leader of Predator Cycling. How's it going, RM?
Pretty good. I'm glad to know that I'm the fearless leader. I always thought that was you.
Well, I'm kind of running out of things to switch that last one to.
It's okay. You just got to be more creative.
And I literally... This is what I did. I went into thesaurus.com.
Oh boy.
And I put in like a team leader and it came up with fearless leader. So there we go.
I have to say, this is kind of the highlight of the week when you say nice things about me.
And I need thesaurus to do it.
Ouch.
Okay. So welcome back. We took a little unplanned break last week.
We did.
Honestly, we just could not fit a podcast session into our busy, busy days.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Your mom was here for a week or so, and she is now back in California.
She is.
We spent last week working on the water bottle cage prints.
Yep.
We were putting up a coating station.
Yep.
To help with the ceramic coating for the water bottle cages, for other products we have coming out.
Yep.
And then... hopefully we'll use that same little station for when we start the bars here towards the end of the year.
Yep.
And then we also, it was Easter. We were finishing our son's push bike in time for the Easter bunny to deliver it. It's been done for a while, but we...
It has. It's kind of been on this...
put it in hyper mode there.
Yeah, it was on back burner, front burner, back burner.
Santa fell off Santa's sleigh and the Easter Bunny picked it up.
Yeah, it was a good thing the Easter Bunny was there.
So we were also... I've been rebuilding stock for our DIY kits, our carbon repair DIY kits. And we have been finishing our new bike fitting product that I mentioned that we will be highlighting in next week's episode.
Yep, that should be fun.
You also continued your streak of 3 a.m. wake-up days to work on your recordings for both GTC conference and SemiWorld conferences.
Yep.
Those recordings are now complete.
Yep.
And they will debut at their respective virtual conventions this week and next week.
Yep.
So we had a lot of things spinning around last week. And then we spent a day. We did a big grown-up thing. And we bought a minivan.
We did.
It's like looking into the future. I've been missing for a decade. We traded in our 2009 Hyundai. We have two 2009 cars. We traded one in and entered the world of the new tech of the Toyota Sienna Hybrid.
Yes, it's pretty cool.
There are so many bells and whistles and computers and monitors and buttons and I'm overwhelmed.
It is overwhelming for our 3 mile commute to work.
Yes. But it's the first car that I've ever owned where I don't actually need a key. There's a button.
I know, it's trippy.
We went all out. There's an entertainment system.
Yeah, it's about as high tech as our shop.
It is. I was just thinking all this technology in this car. And I know that our partners, Ansys and Autodesk, they work with these companies.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, wow. They should highlight that tech more, or maybe just because I have been driving my 2009 for so long.
Yeah. I mean, yes. It's pretty cool. There's a lot of crazy tech in it, and how it learns your driving habits and adjusts the.
Yeah, I don't like that part because it's already told me on the app. I've had 11 harsh cornerings.
Uh-huh.
I've had 2 harsh accelerations, which are you, by the way.
One.
But one. No. Well, one definitely, for sure.
One's me.
Because you can only accelerate so quickly in eco mode.
Which you're not allowed to leave.
Which I've never had modes in cars. My mode's always just been drive.
Yeah, Formula One mode.
So that's exciting. But yeah, all that tech. So I assume that our partners have worked on some of that stuff.
Yeah, I was actually, yeah, they have. I've watched a couple of the demos they do.
They
I don't know about
work.
Toyota.
But good work, guys.
Yeah, it works really well. I enjoy it.
The hybrid system.
Yeah, the hybrid systems, and then now like all of the collision detection systems and the virtualization of those worlds, like to design and build those. NVIDIA, Ansys, Lenovo is big in the car industry on the hardware side.
Maybe we can get Toyota as a partner now. Toyota, I need a bike rack and I need floor mats. Come on. I mean, I know I could have purchased them with the car. The weather ones. I just assumed a normal floor mat would come with the car.
The normal floor mats weren't an option. Anyway,
you know, in 2009, floor mats came with the car.
It came with the Bluetooth entertainment system, all-wheel drive, all-wheel drive.
You know what it didn't come with?
Floor mats.
Well, yes. But also, I think is a vital part of technology, a CD player. I mean, come on. My kids' daycare and my kids' extracurricular activities, they give me a CD to listen to their music.
Yeah.
And I was probably the only mom with my 2009 Hyundai that could play that CD in her car.
It was pretty high tech.
And now I can't.
No.
So those are just a waste of tech.
It is. We were actually talking about this with my mom, and she was complaining. Her car doesn't have one either. And she complained to the dealership, and their solution was nothing.
I don't think Porsche offers that option. Anyway, no. They really should, though.
Yeah, they should.
So they should call it the retro kit. They put in the CD player. They put in the cassette,
vinyl track.
The cassette. I would think it'd be amazing.
Yeah, it would.
I mean, the dash is big enough. You could fit that and a latte maker, coffee espresso machine.
Oh, there's an idea.
All sorts of doohickeys could go in that front dash. I'm sure there's plenty of stuff behind it that I don't know.
Probably.
Anyway, okay, enough about my new exciting car. So let's go back to Easter.
Yes.
Our 2-year-old finally, the bunny delivered his first and Predator Cycling's first and only toddler push bike that we constructed. Mm-hmm. All carbon fiber. You made little toddler major bars.
I did. I made a custom fork for it. So, I mean, we've touched on it before, but we built it in conjunction with a composites, course on LinkedIn. The first of which is dropped and the second course should come out soon. And in the next, I think, month or so, the second course comes out and the third, and I'm just finishing it up.
Mm-hmm.
But talking about composite construction, so I tried to build the bike in a very interesting way, mm-hmm. So that I could kind of use it as a teaching example and, our son would have a really cool bike.
Yeah. So, we've been working on this bike for longer than we should have, but yeah. In the middle of your designing, and I think we'd already actually started laying up the part, I saw on Instagram, I got an ad, Specialized came out with a toddler push bike.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I mean, not that we were going to market with it, but I was like, we should have just bought that.
It would have been a lot quicker.
Which is cool. Their bike's cool. Ours is cooler. Tell me why.
Well, the thing that's, I think, interesting about our bike is... somebody actually jokingly said it called it a righty. Cannondale makes a bike, a fork called the lefty, which is a mono side. So it only has one side of the fork. Our bike has only tubing on the right side. So mm-hmm. The rear wheel is only held in place by one tube that holds it from the right only. So it's kind of cool. And the same with the fork.
And what was your thinking other than material cost?
Well, it was actually just molding construction so that you could simplify the mold to make it. And then it made it a little more interesting on the simulation side because then the loads and forces that are being applied are a little more interesting because it's coming from the load gets transferred from right to left mm-hmm. a little differently. So it's not symmetrical. So it just makes the process of designing the part a little more interesting on the simulation and topology optimization side and some of the simulation for the composites.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was super cool.
Yeah, it looks super cool. You can check a picture up on our Instagram page.
Yeah. And it also made it a lot simpler to do some of the molding for it. We could do it in one shot. So it just has one tool.
Right.
So that made it more cost effective to make the bike.
So the pros and cons of the bike. Bike's cool. But the cons are, I think you made it too fast.
It's
for
too
a push
light.
Bike, our kid.
It's too light, and it rolls really fast.
Yeah,
and the headset has no preload almost, so it just turns the handlebars really smooth.
I mean, he'll figure out. So far, he's kind of walking on it. He hasn't learned. We had to cut the seat tube down even further.
Yeah,
the guy, the short little guy.
Yeah. So he loves it. I love it. He doesn't let anybody touch his bike. He goes, my bike, Mika's bike.
Yeah. And that poor Clearco.
Oh my God.
Like a whole 2 days. And of course, I mean, you give a bike to a 2-year-old and the first thing it does is it gets thrown on the ground.
Yeah. He drops it. He just lets go of the bike. Mm-hmm. So it's a little too quick. We should have probably also maybe put some like armor plated like reinforcement on the sides of it.
I know we spent so much time on the cool graphic chrome graphics and the Clearco. I probably should just wrap it in bubble wrap and call it a day.
Yeah, or like reinforced tooling steel or something.
Something. Yeah. Whatever. He'll figure it out when we have the ability to fix it.
Yeah.
So, anything else about the bike?
No, I mean, we've talked about doing a push bike years ago. We've had customers kind of bring it up, but it's always kind of been complicated actually because of tooling and stuff. So this was kind of a new approach to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun. I had a really good time making it and it's cool to watch. I mean, our little boy riding one of our bikes and
riding a little Predator.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, we built the bike, built the fork, built the bars. Mm-hmm. It's pretty dope. So
yeah,
I dig it.
Cool. So also I had mentioned we have been working on the water bottle cages that we mm-hmm. did an episode about. The pre-orders, they'll begin shipping this week. I just got cute little inserts made and writing little personal notes and
yeah,
kind of bag them up and ship them out. And then in conjunction with that, we constructed a coating station here at the shop to ease our finishing work.
Yeah, so it's new. Well, yeah, it's exciting, one, that the cages will all get shipped out. All the pre-orders will get out this week, and mm-hmm. we'll have...
I mean, we've printed a buttload of them.
Oh, yeah, there's
it's
tons of them.
It's just a matter of just, we got to coat them and finish them.
Yeah, and it just, the way we had set up before was great for testing and prototyping the cages, but once we actually got all the orders in, it was a little overwhelming, but we were able to get through them, but it just wasn't smooth. So this new coating station will be really helpful, so we can get them done a lot faster, and... as we have more and more products that are going to need mm-hmm. coating, we'll be prepared for it now.
Yeah.
So it's new for us because this coating system is a little different than anything else we've used for coats. So it had some special requirements. So we got all that set up and we are ready to go now.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be up and running and coating this week.
Yeah. And we've been talking about, should we gotta shoot like a little video with the cage.
Yeah.
We have all the tools.
Yes, we do.
We have them on an awesome camera. We just need to make the time to mount it and make a cool little video and show the, you know, how yeah. it works and how awesome it is.
Help explain it better to people.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's cool because it visually, I think people, as soon as they see it, are attracted. I mean, they just, especially if they know anything about us, they know that it's not just, there's something behind it.
Right.
And so I think we need to have a little video that
just
explains.
See it in use. Our marketing department is just horrible. That's me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get on that. And then anything else about the cages?
No, it's been pretty exciting. I mean, it's been really exciting. The feedback we've gotten from people from so far, it's mm-hmm. been pretty cool. And I'm really excited to get some more people using them and see what people think mm-hmm. and kind of just get it out into the market more.
Yeah. So
it's exciting.
Cool. I've been working on the DIY kits because, you know, we're gearing up for the broken carbon frame season. Each kit is handcrafted by me.
Yes.
It sounds like I work at a vintage market. But in all seriousness, I do spend quite a bit of time resizing all of our materials down to fit into... each kit. It comes with the exact amounts of carbons and epoxies and sandpapers and brushes and cups and everything you need. Yeah. Just gotta build that stock back up because we really hit a highlight in those sales in June, July.
Yeah, it's been surprising how much those kits have been picking up. We started the kits, 6 years ago? Five years ago?
For longer than that.
Six, seven.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, so.
It's kind of the alternative because we don't really offer a lot of repair services anymore unless you're super local.
We don't have the bandwidth to do repairs in-house. And the kits, actually, it's interesting to see what people repair with it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that use, we've seen like fishing poles, car parts, oil.
Boat. boating.
Some oil, we stuff. Always get these. Yeah, oil. This,
did you say oil?
Yeah, oil and mining industry keeps. We've been sending a bunch of kits to people in that.
What do you do with that?
I don't know. Oh. I have no idea what they use to fix it.
I just recently sold a bunch to some universities.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like I'm like a professor.
Yeah, Professor Courtney. Oh, that's
scary.
I think
one just went to John Hopkins. I have just my. So many accolades.
Mm-hmm. You're amazing.
It's like the time Bobby Lee went to the Olympics. I also went to the Olympics.
Well, I mean, essentially, right? You helped make the bars.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you want to hit on before I talk about things to look forward to? It's kind of a short one today, but
yeah,
we've got a lot of work to do.
We do. We have a lot of work to do. No, I think you kind of covered everything that's been going on.
Yeah.
We've just really been kind of just... behind a little bit with all the projects and things, but it's cool. Things are coming to, we finished a lot of our projects. The push bike is done.
It's conferences.
Yeah. Those PowerPoints and getting it all set up and all the requirements for each one's a little different.
I think it's just the Zoom after Zoom after Zoom of leading up to what the thing and a thing and a thing. I think it's been a year now. We all know how to operate a Zoom call.
Yeah.
And like,
well, and I actually have to say that, like, it's interesting because a lot of these classes that we've been doing, I have to self-record,
mm-hmm.
And put it all together. I'm kind of really happy that I started like a year ago doing LinkedIn classes and teaching them because I got all the equipment set up. I got all the audio recording set up, capture systems, and I've actually like learned how to do it because apparently I talk with my mouse.
Your mouse.
Yes, with my mouse. And I've learned how to not talk with my mouse. So little things I've learned.
Mm.
So I've gotten pretty good at my pre-recorded sessions.
Okay. Well, I guess that segues into things to look forward to.
You're
going
to look forward to my mouse talking?
No. Look out for Arm's recorded course for NVIDIA's GTC conference here this week. I believe it's 3 p.m. Central Time. Mm-hmm. Well, it's 3 p.m. in our calendar, so I assume we put it in there for Central Time.
Yeah. And that one is SimuLive. So
I haven't gotten that.
Oh, sorry.
Let me read my pre-done notes here, bud.
Apologies.
Hi, hi, hi. It's 3 p.m. Central Time, Wednesday, April 14th. It's recorded. However, it's also SimuLive. And I believe it's open for real-time questions. You'll be logged on and ready to go. Is that true?
This is all true statements. It will be... me and Mike Geyer from NVIDIA will be both on there chatting away.
Is it like type chat box or
it is.
Someone types you a question and you answer.
Yeah, so
with
it may be a
voice.
Disaster. No, with text.
Oh, no.
It may be a disaster.
Are you typing it?
Apparently, yes.
Is there autocorrect?
I hope.
Should I be your, what is it called?
A ghost typer?
Stenographer? No, is that what they do in the courts? I'll do it all shorthand.
I have no idea.
So I assume people would type you a question and then you would just answer like.
No, I message them back. It's a message board thing.
Oh, NVIDIA.
Yeah, so it'd be good.
Yeah. Sounds like a fun time.
Yeah, so if you guys have questions about.
If you have questions, type them in. I'm going to get back to you in 4 to 6 weeks.
Ouch.
You also have ANSYS's Simulation World virtual conference the following week, which looks to be available on April 21st at 10:15. I also think that's Central Time. I'm not sure. I looked at the website this morning. It just said 10:15. It didn't have a...
And I think it's actually playing twice.
Yes. I haven't gotten that far either.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Stop jumping ahead in my notes.
Apologies.
Then it repeats again at 3:15 the same day and again the following day, April 22nd at 3:15.
Yes.
That's only a 15-minute...
It is. It is.
Yeah.
I wanted it
to be longer.
Well, I thought for some reason it was 20 minutes. I had that in my notes that it was 20 minutes. And so
you had to cut a little down.
The day of. I had to cut 5 minutes out. And it was a joint thing. It's me and Mike Geyer are both on it talking about it. And Mike talks kind of from the NVIDIA side. And I talk from the Predator application side. We had to take 5 minutes out.
Yeah, to work it out.
I mean, it came out fine. I think it gets the point across. But it's actually really hard some of these classes because, like, I think both Mike and I do really well in the open forum, like the question side of it.
Yeah.
Because I think what we're doing is pretty interesting, and there's so many avenues that you could talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, I think the two of us together made that a little bit, but it would have been.
Well, I'm sure if they still like us in a year, it'd probably be in person.
Maybe
if they like us, or maybe if it's in person.
Maybe they'll like it less if it's in person.
From what I read, Autodesk University's conference this year is going to also be virtual, which I don't think we're going to participate as a course in, but be there.
Yes, for sure. No, it'd be fun to listen to see what other people are doing. But no, I think I'm coursed out.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah.
I need a course vacation. Okay, so we're also next week, we're going to take a deep dive into our new 3D printed bike fitting cleat adjusters. RM's going to talk about why we are going to be offering them, mm-hmm. The options that will be available, the sizing, the degrees, the custom versions versus the stock versions, and the simulation that went into them.
Yep. And then we'll also be talking a little bit about where we're going with it. We'll kind of just talk about our roadmap. Mm-hmm. So it should be fun.
So yeah, that episode will be a little bit more in depth and not hodgepodge like today's.
Yes.
So look forward to that one. Anything else before I wrap it up?
No, I think that's it. I think you need to get to work. You got marketing department slammed.
I know. Marketing department is so far behind.
And the handcrafted kit department.
My handcrafted vintage DIY kits. Mm-hmm. And I got a lot to do. And I probably got to take a spin in my new Toyota Sienna.
Yeah, go pick me up lunch.
Go pick me up a potato burrito at Taco Bell. They're back.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so we thank you for choosing to take some time with us, and we look forward to future breakaways. Look for us on Instagram and LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and in person here in Tennessee. We ask our listeners to please share, like, and subscribe. We're available on all major streaming platforms. Thanks for listening. Have a good one, and find some time to break away.